Well, this morning, our Bible reading is found in the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. It's found on the back of your bulletin. Also, you can grab a pew Bible if you would like. Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse 1, in those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly, with the angel, a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Verse 1 that we just read tells us that in those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus, the emperor of the Roman Empire, that all the world should be registered. Now that's a pretty impressive decree, to get all the world registered, to get all the world signed up and accounted for. If you can pull it off, having all the world registered sounds like a pretty good idea. Now, we know that Caesar Augustus was thinking in terms of making sure that people were paying their taxes, and having, a list of names and properties owned would help his job in making sure that the Roman Empire was collecting all that they could. And so Caesar Augustus, from what we can gather, was an organized, ambitious, focused, leave no stone unturned kind of guy. He wanted to have a handle on things. He wanted to know what was going on. He wanted to know the numbers. And it's interesting that this is how the verses leading up to the birth of Jesus begin. The people are being counted. The people are being enrolled and registered and numbered by the most powerful leader in the history of the world up until that point. You know, this announcement, the decree we read, went out to all the world. You know, that is the Roman Empire. But you know, some most certainly, even in the Roman Empire, I'm sure didn't get the news. They probably weren't aware of the decree, and as far as I can gather, they weren't even included in the decree to be registered. And in that group of people, of course, were the shepherds. And I remember our first encounter with shepherds in Turkey, where we lived for 12 years. And after we had been in Turkey for 2 years, we were allowed to purchase a vehicle. And so wanted to be good stewards of this vehicle, one of our first trips was to the McDonald's, about 40 miles north of our city. And between our city and where the McDonald's was this narrow highway that just took you through the middle of nowhere. You know, rocks and fields and sheep. And we purchased our van. It was about this time of year, actually December 2005, and it was cold and rainy. And as we made our trip to the McDonald's, every so often you would see these great, like, poncho silhouettes, which just appeared to be slowly floating across the fields. And at first we just gasped. You know, what is that? Who is that? Those people, we learned, were the shepherds. You know, in these thick, wool, almost tarp-like Obi-Wan Kenobi ponchos, following their sheep and their goats. And on the hillsides, you could see them huddled around fires and in the wind and the rain. The shepherds, you know, the lowest of the lowest class, you know, many of them illiterate, you know, many without homes for most of the year, often far removed from the news and decrees and announcements. But as we continue, of course, as we continue to read Luke chapter 2, there was another announcement that went out. And the shepherds were the first ones to receive this announcement. They were the first ones to be included in this announcement. It didn't matter that they were out in the fields. The good news, this announcement came to them. Verse 10, we read, the angel appears to the shepherds in the field saying, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. The shepherds received this message first. You know, it wasn't just a message on a crumpled up piece of paper. It wasn't a message, you know, on an animal hide or animal skin that was handed to them. Verse 13 tells us, after an angel declares this good news of Jesus' birth, a multitude of the heavenly host appears. Could have been 100 angels. Could have been more. That word host is a military word, a militia, an army of angels. William Tyndale, who first translated the Bible from Hebrew and Greek to English in the early 1500s, translated verse 13, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly soldiers. You know, there are references in the Bible to heavenly hosts, you know, praising God and in the book of Psalms, and we find visions of heavenly soldiers in the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation. But as far as I can tell, there are only two occasions when a group of angels, when an army of angels appeared to people. You know, one time was in the Old Testament in 2 Kings chapter 6. We find the prophet Elisha and his servant. They woke up one morning and they found that all the city around them was surrounded by the enemy. And Elisha's servant, he cries out, "What shall we do?" And Elijah says, "Don't worry. There are more with us than those who are with them." And Elijah's servant, "What are you talking about? It's just us." And Elisha prays and he asks the Lord for his servant to have the ability to see this angelic army that surrounds them. And we read in 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 17, "So the Lord opened the eyes of this young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha." Yeah, we read there, the mountain was full of horses and chariots. When you think of a multitude of the heavenly host, don't think of just a quartet or even a dozen. Think of the sky filled with the army of the Lord. And so one appearance of the heavenly host was to Elisha's servant, and the other appearance of this army of angels is to the shepherds. You know, think about that. Not only were the shepherds privileged to hear the proclamation of Christ's birth delivered by an angel, but the shepherds were one of the few people in the history of the Bible, one of the few people in the history of the world to witness a multitude of the heavenly host praising God. You know, and not only did these lowly shepherds receive the good news in such an amazing, powerful way, but they went out powerfully inspired and motivated, still fresh in their minds, still fresh in their hearts. This scene of the heavenly host carried them all the way to Bethlehem to see Mary and Joseph, the baby. And then in between and after, they went out making known all that they had seen and heard, the first to receive and the first to go. I mentioned Caesar Augustus, focused, you know, ambitious, leave no stone unturned. Was there ever a more ambitious, inspired, focused, effective group of evangelists than these shepherds? Who would have ever picked the shepherds to be the first to receive and the first to go? Another turkey story, not about us, but friends of ours, Eric and Lori Meberg, who lived in eastern Turkey. And like many people in Turkey, Lori Meberg had a housekeeper who would come in once or twice a week to help with this, you know, all their hospitality ministry and inviting people to the house and so forth. And this cleaning lady was a Turkish woman. And the cleaning lady, one year during the Christmas, Lori had her nativity scene set up that she had brought over from America. And she had it set up there on her table in the living room in Turkey. And the cleaning lady took each piece, you know, the manger, Jesus, the wise men, and dusted them off. And then she put them back on the table, not exactly remembering how Lori had arranged them. But the way that the cleaning lady rearranged this nativity scene was very interesting. Instead of the baby Jesus in the middle receiving all the focus, in this cleaning lady's nativity scene, everything was built around the wise men. You know, the magi, the three kings, or however, whatever the number was, they were the center of the nativity. And behind the magi, behind the wise men somewhere was Jesus. And then in the back, you had the shepherds and the animals. This is how someone who had never heard the Christmas story before would arrange the nativity scene. You know, this is someone who had never heard the Christmas story before would count the characters involved. In the book of Revelation, The Apostle John saw a vision of God's people, of the believers in the Lord Jesus. And we read in Revelation chapter 7, verse 9, John saying, "After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could count, from every nation and all tribes and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, and palm branches were in their hands." A great multitude which no one could count. And we hear the Christmas story again this year. And once again, it's a reminder to us how the Lord counts. You know, not as a CEO, you know, not as an emperor of a great empire, but as a Savior who has come for all people, you know, from all walks of life, from all experiences and backgrounds, not only to save and to rescue, but to mobilize and to send out and to use all people to advance the work of his kingdom, to the end that he might receive much, much glory. Let's pray together. Our Lord God, once again, this Christmas, Lord, we find ourselves like Mary, Lord, with much to ponder. Lord, so many treasures in our heart from your word to reflect upon. Lord, the good news of Jesus' birth is for us. Lord, what a wonderful confirmation of your love. What a wonderful assurance that you are with us. Though we were once not a people, now we are your people through Jesus Christ. Lord God, we know the Christmas story, and Lord, we thank you for that. Lord, we can set up the nativity scene according to your word. And Lord, we pray that going forward, Lord, that you would set it up in our hearts. Lord God, that we would regard no one from a worldly point of view, but that we would be carried each day by the angel's declaration to the shepherds that this good news of Jesus is for all the people. And so, Lord, keep us moving forward, we pray. Lord, always hopeful. Lord, never giving up, always praying and reaching out to the people you have placed around us, our families, our friends, co-workers, classmates, even to the very least of these. And Lord, may we be encouraged by John's vision of this great multitude that no one can count, and the promise of a Savior who receives much glory from every nation, tribe, people, and tongue. Lord, we make this our prayer in the name of our Rock, our Redeemer, our King, the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ. Amen.